Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, March 14th. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's Pi Day, and there were two ways I could have gone here. I could have had astronomer Bob Berman on to recite the value of pi for the entire hour, but I figured that would be more excitement than you're used to on the show. So the other option was to talk about delicious pies with Ellen Gray. And so I went with that option. Ellen is the owner and operator of a blog entitled No More Mr. Nice Pie. Really, there's no doubt she's the supreme goddess of pie, and she's back with us today. 800-348-2551. If you want to talk pie with us, 800-348-2551. Add your own E and make a call. VoxPop at WAMC.org. 800-348-2551. Pies and Ellen Gray and you and me, and we'll be back. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's National Pi Day. For all I know, it's International Pi Day, and we're welcoming back Ellen Gray. Ellen is a food writer, recipe developer, educator, and professional pie whisperer. Her work has appeared in Better Homes and Gardens, Seva, Food 52, Munchies, and Jewish Food Society, with a reverence for culinary history and a slightly raised eyebrow toward contemporary food trends. Ellen chronicles her baking calendar on the blog No More Mr. Nice Pie, which is really fun. Her favorite pie is whatever's in season. So let's talk pie today. It's 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can email the program at voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org, or 800-348-2551. Ellen Gray, how are you?
I'm well. How are you, Ray?
I'm well. Now, just before we get started here, in your new bio, you said you have occasionally a slightly raised eyebrow. Which eyebrow?
Left.
Yeah? Can you do the other one?
No.
Let's try. Well, you try the right. I'll try the left.
The lighting is a little bright.
I wish we were on TV right now. It would be taking us away. So what's new?
What's new? We've got some pie to eat. We've got a birthday to celebrate.
Oh, Jerry Garcia's picture is on there.
No. Look closely.
It's not Gene Shalit. It's one of the guys from Cheech and Chong.
All right, Ray. You didn't do your homework. You didn't study in advance.
Well, I see a 3.14, which is
good.
A very clever reference to pie, which doesn't have the E.
Does not have the E.
Right.
Okay, because it's a celebration of the mathematical constant.
Correct, 3.14, right. And then Bob Berman, who I mentioned in the intro, can do hundreds of decimals.
Yes.
And it's tremendously boring. Okay. So we won't be doing that today.
We'll eat pie instead.
So who's the mustachioed dude that you made into a picture?
Well, you're welcome that we didn't set the studio on fire with the birthday candles. Today happens to be Mr. Einstein's birthday.
You're kidding me.
Yes.
How old would he be?
Well, he was born 1879, I believe. So do the math.
You know, they stole his brain.
They stole his brain.
Did you know? You knew that, right?
Well, they borrowed it.
They borrowed it, but they didn't make a pie out of
it,
thankfully.
They did not, no.
The number here is 800-348-2551. You have an important announcement for this program, Ellen Gray. Go ahead. You can say it.
I think in honor of the holiday, without any offense meant to anyone, We thought maybe we'd try something different today and we would have a totally gluten-free free day.
So you don't want to entertain questions about gluten-free today. Well, you've done that on many shows.
We've done that. So perhaps we'll do that next time because there's so much gluten in the studio right now.
We wouldn't want to
create a problem.
Okay. You know, right now someone's going like this. Dear WAMC, I'm appalled. Sorry, you know, if you have a gluten question, go ahead. But just know that Ellen will be peeved. 800-348-2551 is our number. Ellen Gray is here from No More Mr. Nice Pie. Before we get going with the pie that you brought, and then we start talking about pies, what have you been up to? Anything exciting?
I've been baking pie.
Well, I know what you've been doing in the
last
day.
I've been carefully balancing them on my lap on the drive up here.
Really?
So no pie was injured in the
What, are you on a motorcycle?
Travels.
I mean,
no.
You could put them in the back seat, yeah?
Well, back seat, you know, that can also be problematic sometimes. Like red lights and
Model
stop
A?
Signs.
What's the problem? All right, fair enough. So anything good going
on, good.
On the website? Are you writing any columns?
Writing some columns, testing some food items,
testing recipes.
I'm testing recipes for a new Georgian cookbook written by a gentleman named Benjamin Kemper.
Georgia overseas?
Georgia overseas.
Really?
Yeah, so
and
it's
so
pretty
fascinating. How did you fall into that?
I know Benjamin through Sever, and he was looking for recipe testers, and in particular for desserts. And so I tended to find my way to those recipes. It's really interesting
and
stuff.
You had to bake them and then try them?
Yes.
Okay, so give me an example of what a Georgian recipe would be that I might know.
Well, we did a cookie, an almond cookie, which is very similar in many cultures. And we also did a multi-layered, quite laborious tort, honey cake.
Yeah.
We still have some few to test. But what's interesting is that they are, they're specific to Georgian culture, but there are similar recipes in other cultures, which is really fascinating if you look at all the connections between cultures.
You know so much about pies, so I'm sure you could tell us the history, the ancestry of all the pastries that we try today, right?
I can tell you that, but I will start with the fact that pie originally was utilized as a means to preserve food, so that crusts weren't necessarily something you wanted to eat, but it was a good way to encase a filling in something that would preserve it, and then you could tote it off to work. You could ship it in a boat across the ocean, and then you didn't have to worry so much that it would spoil.
No, wait. Yeah, you can't ship. It takes in a boat, it'll take you a minimum of a number of days,
yes.
And the pie's going to go bad.
Well, yes, pie might go bad, but there was the hope that it wouldn't. It also eliminated storage issues on a ship, because then you didn't have to take the live animals on the ship to cook into the pies. You didn't have to have necessarily a cook specific to making pies. So pies traveled quite a distance. Thankfully, pie crust has improved over the years, over the centuries, and now they're more edible.
So you're suggesting that people would sometimes bring live animals and make them into pies on boats?
Well, that was...
Noah didn't do that.
Noah, I wasn't there for that voyage, so
really?
I can't really speak to that.
I think I saw his article in Sever.
Oh, maybe,
yes,
possibly. But you know that pies were, originally, they were, besides being utilitarian, they became showpieces at very fancy dinners. And oftentimes you would have 420 blackbirds baked in a pie.
You know about this.
Yes.
I brought this up on pie shows when we've had lesser pie aficionados than you. And they said, what the blue blazes are you talking about with the crows in the pie and the blackbirds? Tell us about the crazy French and the things that would pop out of pies. By the way, Ellen Graves here, 800-348-2551. You know, they'd have little people pop out of them. They would have all sorts of things. Tell us about the history of pie, Ellen Gray.
Okay, so travel and trade and roadways, the development of roadways, all had something to do with creating pies that once were utilitarian became showstoppers. And people of means would bake a pie, have their staff bake a pie. And they felt that if you saw the legs of the fowl sticking out from the pie or the wings of a bird sticking out from a pie, it was pretty amazing to have that set down at the table.
That is disgusting.
I didn't come up with this idea.
Okay, well, pray continue.
All right. And so, hence 420 blackbirds baked in a pie really was a thing.
But they would fly out.
They would fly out. So it was pie and a show.
Wow.
As we like to say.
But then what's left of the pie if all the birds are gone?
Well, I don't know that the pie was really something you wanted to eat, although you could. There were fillings, there were vegetables, there were, spices and gravies. But it was really that kind of wow factor.
Did you ever make a blackbird pie?
No, blackberry.
Oh, no, blackbird.
Oh, no.
No?
Oh, no.
Flying out?
Not interested in that.
That would be great in the kitchen every now and then. Hey, I got a couple of crows here. I made a pie out of them, and Yeah, you can call to complain. Already, if you're a gluten-free person, you can write that complaint. You can also complain about the birds. Bear in mind, I've never done it, so I've never killed a bird. I've never made one into a pie. The number here is 8, but Ellen has. 800-348-2551 is our number. It's pies today. What'd you bring?
Well, the birthday pie for Mr. Einstein is a chocolate chess pie. Are you familiar with chess pie?
I think you might have made one once.
I think so, but not chocolate. I think we talked about chess
pie. The chess pie means what?
Okay, so chess pie in several cultures is a traditional, I guess you would call it a pantry staple pie or something that was sort of budget friendly originally because it's basically sugar and eggs and butter and a thickener, either flour or cornmeal.
Yeah.
It also has an acid in it because traditionally chess pies tend to run on the sweet side. So you want to add either lemon or sour cream or buttermilk.
Hmm.
And so what's interesting is that chess pie was a pretty dowdy, humble pie, and it has now been elevated. Raised eyebrow on the left. It's been elevated to kind of, you know, glitzy status.
Really?
This one has chocolate in it, has a little bit of sea salt in it, and also has a hit of bourbon in it.
Oh, okay. Ooh, now you have my
you
attention.
Woke up. Yes.
Yes. Hello.
Okay.
You noticed that I was a little lethargic there for a while.
Okay. He's coming around.
That happens. What else you got?
We have a New York City deep dish apple walnut sour cream pie.
Wow. That is a fancy looking apple pie.
It's a tall pie, isn't
it? It's a very tall pie. How do you make them so tall?
Well, it's the pan that it's baked in. And you know that tall desserts happen to sell better than flat desserts.
You're kidding me.
Did you know that?
No.
It's true.
How do you know that? What empirical evidence do you have of that?
I think 10 years owning a restaurant.
Okay. Fair enough.
Maybe.
All right. But I still want to look at the numbers.
Yeah, you can.
What else you got?
We also have a strawberry rhubarb, and I know we're pushing the season on this, but because rhubarb's a little bit later in spring, it's not really out and about in the world yet, but why not? Because we had a long winter. We've had a long 50-something days of winter since.
Listen, I've seen your pie coups, and I know you love the rhubarb.
I love it. I do.
By the way, we're going to take a break here. Ellen Gray's our guest. It's Pies on Food Friday, 800-348-2551. Your new bio says your favorite pie is whatever's in season. What pie do you hate?
Oof.
What's your least favorite pie, Ellen Gray?
I think the one with the bird's legs hanging out
You've
of the
You've never
side.
Had that.
No.
No? You've never been to a Cracker Barrel. 800. No, I'm kidding. Don't sue me. They don't serve that. 800-348-2551. Please, it was a joke, Mr. Cracker, Mr. Barrel. We'll be back. Russell Malone, we've only just begun. Hey, listen, if you are one of the lucky folks who are going to see Uncle Grumpy Learns to Bake at Terrapin Restaurant March 31st, you're very lucky indeed. Chef Gail Sokol is champing at the bit. I, to a lesser extent, am champing at the bit. But it's sold out, people. You can still participate, however. If you would like to get a question in, we'll try to get as many as we can. Just email your question to Gail at voxpop@wamc.org. Same one as for this show. But you got to put in the subject heading, Uncle Grumpy Learns to Bake. We could read them. I mean, we'll get to them if we can. And again, we're going to make a radio show out of this at some point, although it'll probably take more editing than the Let It Be movie to make it into something good. But we'll give it a shot. Meantime, Ellen Gray is here, and we're done offending everyone. And now it's pie time in earnest. 800-348-2551 is our number. What are you doing over there with that sharp object?
Okay, I want to show this to you.
What is that? It looks like, hang on. This is those fried wontons that we had at the Chinese restaurant the other day, yeah?
Oh, my God.
No? Macaroni and cheese? What are you doing with your headphones, Ellen Gray? This show is off the rails already.
Okay. All right, I want you to take a look at this.
Okay.
This is called a floating pie crust.
You're kidding me.
I know. Isn't that fun?
What's it made out of? Worms?
It's made out of pie dough.
Is it really?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, it's made out of pie dough, she mutters under her breath.
Wow, you got a lot of
thank you.
A lot of anxiety.
A lot of time on my
I'll tell you what, you're
a lot of anxiety.
It's a rough room today.
I know.
All right. So anyway, that's right. Beautiful. That's... So you put that back on when you're done or
yeah.
Interesting.
But you see, so you bake it.
So if you're gonna cut it without if you're gonna take this floating pie crust
don't
off.
Don't panic. It's okay.
I'm very confused. All you're right. Cutting the strawberry rhubarb pie.
Yeah.
While you're doing that, you wanna take a call?
Sure.
All right. You can do a couple things at once?
I'm going to try.
Ellen Gray's our guest. 800-348-2551. Jack is in Worthington, Massachusetts. Hello, Jack.
Hi, Jack.
Hello, folks. How are you? I'm sorry. This is not exactly about pies, but you said they're using the pie to protect the contents.
Yes.
And it just reminded me of the story. I had two uncles serving in the Pacific in World War II, and my grandmother used to take one of those 2-foot-long kosher salamis and bring it to the rye bread bakery, and they would bake it into a rye bread.
Correct.
Genius.
So that by the time it got to the Pacific, it wasn't leaching the fat out of the salami like it normally would.
That same idea.
So they would end up with very nice salami. One uncle was in Iwo Jima and everything, so...
Famous delicatessen used to say that you would send a salami to your boy in the army. That was Katz's delicatessen.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Katz, that's right. I heard that. But this is Liss's Bakery in North Philadelphia.
Sure.
And they baked that right into a great big rye bread.
Yeah.
And they could eat the rye bread and they could eat the salami.
I mean, perfect.
Again, salami is well preserved and you put it in the bread, but... Yeah, it's a long way from Philly to Iwo Jima, you know? It's going to be okay?
Yeah. It made it. I don't think they ever turned it down.
That's great.
Hey, man, thanks for the call. That's Have a great weekend. 800-348-2551. All right, Ellen Gray.
Okay.
Now, hang on.
Yeah.
Wait. You've cut the rhubarb pie.
Yeah.
And then you took the floating doily off the top. And then we got...
Look how tall that is.
Okay. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
But why didn't you put the doily back on the rhubarb?
I'm going to slice a piece for you.
That's weird. That's just weird.
No, it's not weird.
Don't you want to cut everything at once?
Yeah, you can, but where's the fun in that?
I don't know. I've been asking that about my career for some time. I'm not sure.
Here, come back.
All right, here we go.
Some people a little extra crust. Some people are more about the filling. You're trying not to offend anyone.
Okay. Oh, no, that's true.
That's done.
800-348-2551 is our number. It's Pies with Ellen Gray. And she's decanting and whatnot. Barbara says, "What is your favorite frozen fruit pie?"
I have to defend frozen fruit pies. Hang on a second.
Well, she likes them.
Yeah, I know, and I'm going to defend them. And
all
I'm
right.
glad that Barbara called. Come back here with that, please.
Okay, fair enough.
Taste this whipped cream while you're.
Should I just try it straight up?
Yeah, try the whipped cream
okay,
first. I got a little on the microphone. You don't mind about that.
Our engineers won't care at all. That's fine.
So it's Barbara I'm talking to. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, Barbara is actually wrote that question.
Oh, hi, Barbara. So. I worked at a farm that had number of apple orchards and peach orchards, and they really grew quite a bit of their own produce and fruit. In the summer, we would, certainly use what was on hand for the pies.
Yeah.
But we also used a lot of frozen fruit, and I was very skeptical. I thought, why would you use frozen fruit?
You raised an eyebrow.
I did. If you own a farm. But the truth is, frozen fruit, good frozen fruit, individually quick frozen, it's called IQF.
Individually?
Yeah.
Each strawberry is individually frozen? It's going to take a long time.
It's picked at peak season, which means it has most of its sugars intact, which means it's delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's flash frozen. And then you can use that in baking applications. And so the gentleman that I worked for happened to be an engineer. And also a farmer, and he swore by IQF fruit because it's consistent. You know that it was picked when it was fresh. You know how much, liquid it will produce. You know how much sweetener to add. And so your pie would be fairly consistent.
Mm.
When you work with fresh fruit, which is really the dream and what you really hope to achieve in pie making, is to work with what's seasonal. There are a lot of factors that change things. And so frozen fruit has its place. particularly in the winter. You know, suppose you're just a guy who wants a peach pie for his birthday.
Totally.
In January. You know, who are we to say you can't have that peach pie?
Listen, I know.
I've said it.
I've been to your website. I know you can't get enough of this stuff.
Okay.
What's
right.
the craziest summer pie you've made in the dead of winter?
Craziest summer pie in the dead of winter?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think peach.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of wacky. But you know, the other thing Barbara was talking about in her email, utilizing frozen fruit, there are ways to elevate frozen fruit so it tastes better. And one of the ways to do that, it seems counterintuitive. You feel like, well, if I just sweeten it to death, it will be better. But that's not necessarily the case. You want to sweeten it wisely, says my friend, Mr. Einstein.
Oh, look at you with the Einstein.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
So you want to concentrate the flavor. You don't necessarily want to oversweeten it. So the addition of zest, you know, citrus zest, being a little judicious with spices and adding really great quality preserves to a fruit filling will make it taste more like the fruit.
That is so genius. Ellen Gray is our guest today. It's pies. You know, it's pie day. 3.14, yada,
mm-hmm.
yada.
Yeah, okay.
And we're adding an E. We're having a pie show.
Okay.
And I have a plate full of pie here.
No,
you told
yet.
Me to try the cream.
Yeah.
And it's very good.
Yeah.
It's got a touch of some booze or something
it's
in there, right?
It's got some booze in it.
What do you got?
It's got some bourbon in it. But I'm
In the whipped cream?
In the whipped cream.
It's perfectly white, though. It doesn't look like there's any bourbon in there.
Magic. It's pie magic. All right. I need the plate to come back
across
the room. I know.
All right. I love that. That's
right.
The checker
pie,
right?
This is chocolate chess.
Chess. Right.
Chocolate chess.
Did you know the president plays three-dimensional chess?
Did you know that chess pie, which has a lot of roots in Southern kitchens, although there are similar custardy pies throughout the country and throughout the world, was maybe given the moniker chess pie. We're not quite sure, but there are several thoughts. One thought is that people enjoyed this type of pie after playing chess.
Of course.
Another thought is that people just sort of took the vernacular of just pie and kind of shortened it to chess pie, which ultimately became chess pie.
So the degradation of the English language is the reason for this
big
name.
Big part of it.
Interesting.
Additionally, pies used to be kept in something called a pie chest.
Oh.
And they had some longevity. You could leave them out for, you know, several days
Explain to me one of these pie chests.
Okay. Pie chest, often made of wood.
Okay.
Often kept up high on a shelf to keep, you know, house pets out of reach.
Husbands and whatnot.
Right. And sealed down, almost like a bread box for pie, but instead of a slide mechanism, they usually lifted up. It had kind of a lid, and then you could set the pie in that and set the lid back down, or almost like a little china cabinet, you know, with doors.
Yeah.
You could. So they were a mainstay. And that's how people stored their pies, because refrigeration wasn't always available.
Speaking of refrigeration, Ellen Gray, and we're going to go to the phones in a minute, and I'm going to eat some pie, 800-348-2551. Ellen Gray, pie maven that you are, do you ever put your leftover pie in the fridge?
I do.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
You're okay with that? It doesn't wreck the texture soggy and whatnot?
We get a little precious about pie storage sometimes, right?
We do.
And if you've ever lived or worked in a place where there's a kitchen that is just ghastly hot in the summer, it's probably not a great idea to leave things out.
Yeah. I mean, that's an excuse to just eat the whole thing.
That's the only way to get around it.
Yeah. How many pies do you make and consume a week?
I don't know the answer
10,
to
12,
that.
15
I don't,
pies?
I think it depends on the season. But I will say we eat pie, not often enough, but often. Pie is kind of pie was sort of a religion in my house growing up. It was dinner on Sunday was always capped off with pie.
And you never really did in your family growing up. Did you do the savory pies?
Chicken pot pie.
Oh.
Always chicken pot pie.
I love a good chicken pot pie. They're 99 cents in the freezer at the grocer.
I bet they're great. I bet they don't refrigerate those.
All right. All right. You know what? Let's go to the phones. Ellen Gray is here. We'll go to David in Central New York. David, where are you in Central New York?
Vernon, New York.
All right.
About,
you are
30 miles east of Syracuse.
You are on the air, my friend.
Hi,
go ahead.
David.
How are you?
Great.
Ellen, I'd like to know, are you gray with an E or A?
I'm gray with an A.
Okay. That way I can look you up.
All right. Please do.
Well, it's also J. Fred Muggs and my birthday today, as well as Mr. Einstein.
Happy birthday.
You don't look like J. Fred Muggs,
though,
do you?
Well, I like to think that I fall somewhere between Einstein and Muggs on the chart.
There you go. Well, happy birthday, man. That's great.
Well, thank you. 75 today.
Congratulations.
Wow.
That's a good number. So what's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to know about sweet potato pie and why it is not more popular and available.
I love sweet potato pie. I think it gets a bum rap sometimes.
Why?
Because the commercially made ones are made with canned sweet potatoes, which kind of have a curious consistency. They're a little overly sweetened. They're usually packed in all kinds of chemicals and corn syrups, and they're just not the same as using fresh sweet potatoes that you roast in the oven. So they are a little bit more labor intensive, and that may be why. There are some, you know, terrific bakeries that specialize in sweet potato pie. I know there are a number of them in the Manhattan area. I don't know about up here, but they're not that hard to make.
Oh,
you
could
make this.
Okay, why don't you run David through it real quick?
More prevalent in the South.
They're prevalent in the South, but I mean, even in Philadelphia, I remember there was someone at Reading Terminal Market who had fabulous sweet potato pies. I think that
it tastes the same as pumpkin pie, right?
It doesn't taste the same as
what?
Pumpkin pie. Funny you should say that, Ray. The sweet potato pies have I want to say they have a little depth of flavor. It's a little earthier, maybe, than a pumpkin pie. And pumpkin pie, using fresh pumpkin pie, is something that I don't adhere to because that's kind of a very tedious process.
So this is interesting.
Whereas sweet potato pie is not complicated at all. You just roast them in the oven, and you want to roast them a long time at a high heat so they get caramelized, and roast them in the jacket of the potato.
Yeah.
Don't take off the jacket,
no,
Ray.
No.
And then you will mash them. And then you can, the great thing about sweet potato pie is that it's so customizable. Like, you can add to it the spices that you love, the spirits that you really enjoy. There's a great sweet potato pie recipe on the website, which is from Paul Prudhomme, Louisiana Kitchen.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, and that was a sweet potato pecan pie. And he used to do a great sweet potato pie base, you know, the inside of the pie was sweet potato, and then it had a very thin layer of pecan pie on top. It was absolutely delicious.
Neato.
Yeah, so you might want to do that for your birthday.
I think I'm going to have to try that.
Okay.
Hey, David, happy birthday, and thank you for listening. Really appreciate it. You want to wrap it up here?
Thank you very much for taking the call.
You got it, buddy.
Happy
800-348-2551 is the number. Ellen Gray is our guest. This is not a cheeky question. Believe it or not, this is a legitimate question. Heard about sweet potato pies? Not a huge fan myself. That's fine. My family members love it. It's c'est la vie, whatever. But can you make a regular potato pie?
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Well, you know, potatoes as the topping to a pie, I'm a big fan of. So you could have mashed sweet potato on top of a savory pie filling.
I don't want sweet potato. I want regular
potatoes. You could have
potato.
Regular potatoes on top of a chicken pot pie, for instance, or a vegetable pot pie. You could have a pie filled of just mashed potatoes, I suspect. It's kind of redundant. You're going to have
a
crust that's white and a filling that's kind of potato-y.
I'm going to help you out here.
Yeah.
Write this down. You ready?
Go ahead.
This is why people come back to this show, because I come up with ideas.
What's the idea?
You ready? Take regular baking potatoes, the russets, slice them, right?
Very thinly.
Very thinly. You layer them with delicious apricot jelly inside.
No, and, no.
What do you mean, no, no? And why are you scowling?
No, you could lay. You had me up to the point where you layer the thinly sliced potatoes. You could pour heavy cream over that. That's very French. You could add some fresh herbs. Very delicious. And you could bake that. So it's sort of like a potatoes pomme or a potatoes au gratin. You could add cheese.
Okay.
That would be delicious. Some friends are suggesting bacon to the mix.
I like bacon. Your driver's very smart.
Well, he knows these things.
You know what, though? I got to say, the marmalade idea is genius.
I love marmalade, but not with potatoes.
You know what? Okay, this is where we disagree, and this is why we have a problem on the show.
Let's take a break.
Ellen Gray, let's take a break. 800-348-2551. We're going to hash this out, and we'll get back to the calls in a moment. Tell you something, you learn stuff during the breaks, and now I know that Ellen Gray is lousy in math. She failed geometry and she bribed the teacher.
Bribe is such a harsh word.
All right, so go ahead, tell the story now.
No, I just
fess up.
I'm fine with algebra, I'm fine with mathematics,
yeah,
even long division.
Okay,
love a good long division problem.
Okay,
but I'm not good with geometry. It's just there's something about the logic of it that doesn't make sense to me logically. So I struggled in that class,
yeah,
and I sat in front of somebody who excelled in geometry, who happened to be a very former best friend. At any rate, as this semester went on and my grades were getting lower and lower, I had an opportunity to pass the class with an extra credit. And so for the extra credit, I baked a checkerboard cake, which actually, if you know, if you take a checkerboard cake apart, it's concentric circles.
Oh my God.
So I had to go and explain that to the class.
Mm-hmm.
And then additionally, I had to rework the recipe so it would accommodate a large crowd of 100 and some odd people, like for a wedding.
So you had to make pie for 180 people.
No, I just had to do the math part of that.
Okay.
But ultimately, that came in handy.
So I thought you were going somewhere else with this. I thought the person in front of you who was very smart, your former friend, who feel free to name.
Yeah, Linda.
Linda. I thought you bribed her with a pie and cheated.
Oh, no. I would never do anything like that.
Good for you. I knew. For a
minute,
I doubted.
I have some morals.
Okay. Oh, I'm sure you
mathematically
do.
Mathematically speaking.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen evidence of that.
Okay.
So the apple pie is delicious. Explain again what you have done here.
Okay.
This is a New York City
thing. A New York City thing. It was really popular in the late 70s and 80s. There is still in business today the Little Pie Company in New York. And it's on the Midtown, on the west side. And they used to make this apple walnut sour cream pie that was just out of this world. And so when we had the restaurant, we made a pie similar to that. I mean, they used to guard that recipe. It was kind
of... Did they?
Well...
I mean, could you steal it?
Well, you could borrow it.
G. Gordon Liddy break in the middle of the night?
That's something... I don't want to... That's a different show.
Okay.
But I will say that the pie that we made at the restaurant took a very similar filling. And apple pies with custards poured throughout them is pretty
common. Oh, that's
common.
A neat idea.
Yeah, and which is basically what this
really
is. But we baked it in a deep dish quiche pan, fluted pan like that.
What do you mean fluted?
Well, look at the edge here. It's fluted. It's not flat. Take a look.
It's ridged.
It's ridged.
What's with the flute?
We call that a fluted pie.
All right.
Pan.
Okay.
Okay.
Keep talking.
Yes.
I'm chewing.
So there was a wonderful kitchen supply store in Philadelphia, in South Philly. It's still there today. It's been there forever, called Fonte's. And they sold these deep dish quiche pans with the removable bottom. There's a removable bottom.
And this
over
one
here
says pie solves all world problems,
yes,
or something.
Yeah, well, what this is that's the outside.
Oh, that's the outside.
We're going to talk about pie plates in one
okay
second. Anyway, so we made the pies in these deep dish quiche pans, and they were fabulous. And
this
they were on
is,
the menu the whole time.
It's one of the best apple but pies I've ever had.
You're
really
kind,
really, really good.
You're a kind soul.
Ellen Gray is our guest today. Ada, even though she cheated on a test, we're not going to.
I didn't cheat on
the
test.
We're not going to bring it up
there
again.
There was nothing about cheating involved in this.
It's fine.
Okay.
You are forgiven. 800-348-2551. Fran in Gallatin writes in, hey, I have a pie chest in the back of my old barn. We usually call them pie safes.
Yes, yes, that's true.
The number here is 800-3. You want to take a call?
Sure.
800-348-2551. Let's go to Cohoes. RK, you're on.
Hey, Ray. Hey, Alan. How you guys?
Hi.
Good. Hey, Ray, before I ask my question, I wanted to say, I think you're going to knock it out of the park.
Oh, my God.
Event of yours. This could be the start. You know, hey, this could be the start of something here.
No way, man.
I
got to tell you.
Yourself a little short,
I'm
brother.
Up in the middle of the night with cold sweats, just panicking.
No.
Believe it or not, I don't know that much about food. It's. I know it's hard to believe, but I'm a little scared.
Right. Be yourself, brother.
All right, man. Well, that's all I got. That's all I got left.
Well, that's all any of us has. But look at my question. So my local bakery, and I won't say which one because I've been watching this, listening long enough to know not to do that, although it's the only one in town, so it won't be that hard to figure out. Anyway, my local bakery is offering up pistachio cream pie.
Okay.
Now, I have never heard of such a thing, so I want to know, Helen, have you ever heard of such a thing?
Okay. I have some thoughts.
That sounds delicious. Okay. I got to be on. Going to be against this?
No, I'm not. I'm not going to be a Debbie Downer on this, but I have some thoughts on pistachio because I just went down the pistachio pathway with my son-in-law, who I think is just the loveliest guy, and he wanted a pistachio wedding cake. So I did quite a bit of pistachio research, and I will say that pistachio in baked goods, you know, you can do it the right way or you can do it the easy way, and I did not do it the easy way.
No.
The easy way is you'll notice that there are many pistachio ready-to-make cake mixes are out in the world. There's pistachio pudding available.
Delicious.
No.
You want to bring some of that?
What's the first
time?
Ingredient? I think it's like green pudding. Dye number 7 or something horrible that you don't want to eat.
Don't be
what
a
you
nattering
want to
nabob.
Do,
no, come on.
So what you want to do is you want true pistachio flavor. Now, the little bakery in your town is probably, you know, making a lovely pie. I'm assuming they're making some kind of a pastry cream for the filling, and then they're flavoring it, I hope, with fresh pistachios that they're grinding and making into a pistachio paste. But if they're using sort of like a boxy green dye pistachio flavor, faux pistachio flavor, took me a really long time to find pistachio extract.
Do you resent your son-in-law now?
No,
all the work
my son-in-law.
You have to do?
No, okay. No, I was fine. It was driving the cake to the top of the hill, but that was not my department. That was the only issue. But the pistachio flavor has to come from real pistachios, and you have to grind them, and you have to sweeten them, and you have to salt them. So you might want to give that pie a try. I don't know.
This is not a good
idea. Am I within my right, Ray? Because you're the,
go ahead,
know
man.
All of etiquette.
Yeah.
Am I within my rights to walk into that bakery and ask and say, does that come from a box?
Try that, RK, and get back to me.
You want to do it nicely. RK, I think I'd walk in and say,
oh, yeah, I'm going to do it nice.
Well, I think you want to go and say very nicely. Remember, people who work in bakeries and people who work in bakery kitchens are some of the hardest working people anywhere.
So Skylar Bakery is pretty
and
close to you
and
Cohoes.
And they work
it's
really hard, and it's really hot in the kitchen, and it's very...
I'm going to say I listened to Food Friday with Raymond Graff.
Yeah.
Blame me.
And Ellen Gray.
Right.
And they said for me to go in there.
I'm on board. No. If you do that, I am on board, and I want to hear a full report.
And I'm going to bring a pistachio pie next time. But one thing I would recommend, you can go online and order pure pistachio paste. It's the paste that is used in ice cream and gelatos.
Okay.
Find that. That's what you want for the filling.
Oh,
not out of the little
box. I
order
too many things online.
Okay. No,
when you get
I
out of the hospital, let me know, man. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
All right, I'll report back.
All right, brother. Appreciate the call. 800-348-2551. The strawberry, while you were chatting amiably with RK, I had some of the strawberry rhubarb pie.
Thoughts.
Very nice.
Okay.
Now, ordinarily, I eschew that.
Because of the leaves.
Because
I'm going to
get poisoned. Because
I'm going to slice with the leaves.
But
I didn't this time.
If I got to die this way, it's just fine. Okay. Let's go to Neil in Pine Bush, which sounds a lot like Pie Bush. Go ahead, Neil.
Fair enough. So I wanted to know if you were familiar with something called Easter pie.
I am.
It's Italian. It's
delicious.
You know, it's got every kind of cured meat you could think of. I've seen every variation of it over the years.
Yep. Yeah.
But I can't get the crust right. I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Oh, no.
I don't know if I should pre-bake it because it comes out. The bottom does not get that crust crisp.
Ding, 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 ding. You won.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to pre-bake that
crust.
I won?
You have to pre-bake.
Yeah. Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
So I have a recipe from an old Italian friend, and they're no longer here, and, like, there's a section missing, and I knew I was going to
surprise. Oh, we can help you.
Hey, speaking of old Italians, Rocco DeFazio is going to be on next week in our pre-Easter show, so...
He might have some thoughts, but it's interesting you bring this up. This is probably one of the... key failings of pie is that people don't blind bake the crust.
The soggy bottom.
Well, yeah, that's an exhaustive term. Yeah, you just don't want that raw dough. So all of these pies, the crust has been pre-baked, par-baked or pre-baked, and you really want to do that, certainly with an Easter pie because it's got a lot of liquid in it. It's got all those meats, and you usually put ricotta in that and lots of cheeses. So I would blind bake that crust, and I think you'll have success.
And then call Rocco, and he'll give you some extra ingredients to put in that Italian Easter pie. You know what I mean?
Well, so this is the next question. If you're going to pre-bake the bottom part of the shell, how do you seal the top part to the bottom?
This is not as daunting as it sounds. So you're going to leave a little extra edge around the top, right? You know, you're going to line the pan, and you're going to make a nice little curve under so that you have something to attach the top to. And then if you egg wash, after it's blind baked, if you egg wash it.
Now, what does that mean?
Egg wash is you're going to take an egg and beat it up with a little bit of water.
Makes it golden.
Makes it golden. And you want to use that as an adhesive,
basically.
You're going to brush it on the edge of that pie shell.
Yeah.
And then you're going to add your top shell. And, you know, you may have to fiddle with it a little bit more to really make it adhere, but that's what you want to do.
All right. Neil, what do you think?
Sounds like a plan. I'm going to try it this year.
And, Neil, bake that pie.
Bake
that pie on the bottom shelf of your hot oven. Don't start it on the middle rack. And, you know, start it at a good heat. Even if you pre-bake that baking sheet, if you put the baking sheet in first, so when the pie hits that baking sheet, you've got it on something hot.
Okay. Neil, thanks a lot for the call. So long ago, Rocco was on Christmas time, and he gave me one of these drinks that they have on Christmas Eve.
I wouldn't know about that.
Well, it's dry vermouth and a raw egg, and you down it.
No, you don't.
Yeah. Today it would cost $45 for one of those.
In a fancy
glass.
Because
of the eggs. It was interesting.
I like vermouth. I'm just, you lost me at the raw egg part. Also, we can't afford
exactly
the egg now. I think that's just not an issue.
So one of the most wonderful people in the whole world, Liz from Hanacroy, wrote in, and just a sainted person.
Okay.
Ray needs shepherd's pie, ground beef or lamb mixed with onion, corn, peas, covered with a layer of mashed potatoes that crisps up when you bake it at 350 for an hour or so.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds all right. I've had that. Why? Okay. First of all, that was your other eyebrow. And second of all, why? You don't think I've had anything? What do you think? I'm at Arby's all day? Which, by the way, is pretty close to true.
I never said that, but since you brought it up. No, I think shepherd's pie is delicious, but I think there are other savory pies that I tend to gravitate more toward.
Oh, okay. Ellen writes in, looking at the recipe on your website, can the filling be made without the crust? I put the recipe up, sweet potato pie, bourbon spice.
You know, you can. I think that I'd probably bake it in a more of a casserole-y kind of a dish. I mean, something that, so I'm going to talk about pie plates very briefly.
Okay.
But for something like that, without a crust, and you want something like a ceramic dish, I would say would be better. When you're baking a pie, a metal pie plate is really better because it heats up faster and it holds the heat. And then when you try and use like a very fancy enamel ceramic-y pie plate takes a really long time for that to heat up, which gives you more opportunity for that crust to sort of get a little doughy in the oven.
Oh, so interesting.
A little soggy. Yeah, but if it's metal, it hits the heat right away.
Yeah. Sure.
These are older plates that, you know, they used to give you a pie plate with the pie, and then you could
keep it and use it again.
Or you could return it for like 10 cents.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, Ellen Gray is our guest today. We talk pies, I don't know, every 3-4 months on this program. And she's outdone herself this time on this Pie Day edition of the program. Let's grab a couple of more calls here before we wrap it. Susan is in Albany. Hello, Susan.
Hi, can you hear me?
Certainly.
All right. Thanks for taking my call. First of all, I think it's absolutely adorable that talk radio is talking about pies. I just think that's just completely cool.
Isn't that crazy?
It's just great. A couple things I wanted to say. Number one, this isn't really a pie question. It's actually a roll question.
We take
Have
all questions.
Have you ever... Okay, great. Have you ever heard of salt sticks?
I have.
S-A-L-T?
Yes, I know. I know about salt sticks, and they are, again, popular old school bakeries in New York City.
Yeah.
What are they?
They're terrific.
Well, they're delicious, but there was a bakery in Gilderland.
Okay.
And my family had a bakery, so I actually do know exactly what you're talking about when you said hard work.
Yeah.
But either way, we didn't make them, but this other bakery in Gilderland did.
Okay.
And they were delicious. And then all of a sudden, maybe it was 20 years ago or so, I realized
there's no more salt sticks.
That bakery's gone.
Yeah.
And there's no more salt sticks to be had anywhere.
Did you try
in the Albany area?
Well, in Albany, but I think there's a bakery in Manhattan called Or Washers, which is kind of an old school, wonderful breads and rolls. They may make them.
What's it called?
Or Washers, Orwashers.
One word.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they have two locations, one on the east side, one on the west side. I would also suspect that if you were downtown on the Lower East Side, there might be an old school bakery that makes them. There are some really terrific cookbooks, Jewish bakery cookbooks that will have salt stick recipes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want, I'll look for one for you and I'll put it on the website.
Oh, that's very nice. Hey, Susan, very quickly.
Thank you. That would be great.
You don't have to say, but what was the name of, I'm interested, what was the name of your family bakery back in the day? I bet I went there.
Oh, well, it was Dandy Donuts, which was.
Yeah, I know it.
A franchise that was owned. And my father brought the only one to Albany. He managed to, put it together, and then he bought it. And then, unfortunately, you know, when he passed, tragically, we were unable to keep it. But we had a local baker, a Prinzo, and my father brought him from Grant Street to Madison Avenue.
Oh, my gosh, Prinzo's, of course. And was Dandy Donuts, wasn't there one in Del Mar?
No, never. No, there was one in Albany. It was based out of Utica and Rome.
Yeah.
These guys owned it, Tom and Jerry, and then my father was the only one that was able to, you know, he bought a franchise. They wouldn't sell it to him, but he did a franchise of it. But
so
that
cool.
It is a hard work, boy. It's such hard work.
Well, you should see the work that Ellen Gray did today. I mean, spectacular pies, and the staff is salivating already. So we're going to let you go, Susan. Thank you, and have a good weekend. All right, Ellen Gray, let's do an email here. We don't have time for another call. We only got about 45 seconds. Cheryl says, custard pies. I'm guessing the answer is to pre-bake the shell a bit, but my mom used to make apple custard pie.
Yeah.
I don't recall seeing her pre-bake it. Hers was delicious. Mine seems to get the soggy bottom.
Mm.
How long would I pre-bake to eliminate the problem?
Oh, it takes longer than you think. Freeze, once you put the pie crust in the pie plate, you want to freeze it so it's really solid.
Yeah.
And then you want to go into a hot oven, probably 400 degrees to start for about 15 minutes. And you've got to line it with something, either parchment or aluminum and dried beans or pie weights. And then let that go for about 15, 20 minutes. Turn the heat down when you take out the liner there, and then bake it until it's kind of golden. It shouldn't be raw to the touch.
Ellen Gray, you're a genius, and you have an artistic sensibility, which we all admire here. How do people find out more about you? What's the website, et cetera?
Website is nomoremrnicepie.com. You can find me on Instagram. You can shoot me an email, and I will reply.
the best. Support comes from GNH Lumber and Home and Marvin Windows, partnering with homeowners and builders on renovations and new home construction, lumber tools expertise, GNH Lumber and Home in Greenville, Latham, or Windham. Cafe Capriccio, Albany, New York, the Rua family hosting tours to Tuscany focused on hospitality, food, and wine. RuaTours.com for details. At Broad and Taylor, makers of bread baking tools and equipment for listeners who are interested in beginning their sourdough journey. Recipes, how-to videos, and store at Broad, spelled B-R-O-D, and Taylor.com. Well, that's it. Once again, thanks to Ellen Gray for being here. There's a link to her website on our page today. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Barb King screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. If I've offended people today, I apologize. I don't know what got into me. Usually I'm very relaxed. We probably said some things we shouldn't have, and I probably won't be back Monday. Either way, have a good weekend.